Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Corporate Talk with Charlie Labosco, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Charlie Labosco.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Corporate Talk with Charlie Labosco. I am Charlie, the host, and this is where we use all of our collaborative powers to make a difference in the workplace, even as one person. Our companies need us now more than ever, and we need the work. So it's a perfect match. We want to hear from you guys. If you're on your computer, the number to call is 347-989-1363 to safely listen. If you have something to say, press 1, and the producer will place you in the queue. And we want to hear from you, okay? And if you are on the call and want to listen through your computer, there's many different ways. I would suggest www.corporatetalkwithcharlielabosco.com. Okay? Tonight's show, we have Eva with us. Hi, E. Are you there?
I am. Hi, Charlie.
Thanks. We have a road trip coming up. We're off to the West Coast. And doing some video work, which will be exciting. Plus, we get all that California happening. And we'll actually be broadcasting live from the West Coast next week. And Eva will be actually interviewing.
And can I talk about that for a little bit for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to be interviewing Jeanette Ma. And I know I've spoken about Jeanette Ma before. She is the founder of Good Vibe University and a wonderful coach and a great friend. And she is a law of attraction expert and coach. So we're moving Corporate Talk in a little bit of a different direction next week, but we're going to be talking about how to apply the law of attraction to work. So I think it's going to be a really interesting topic. And like I said, I'm going to be the one that's going to be running the show tomorrow. On Monday, and Charlie will be jumping in whenever you want to, Charlie. So thanks for that opportunity, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And not only do I think it's going to be fun, I think it's going to be a really interesting and informative show as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
No, I want everybody to understand this is by choice. This is something we need. My Corporate Talk target audience needs to come out of the box a little bit and this is a great way to achieve the results that we all are looking to achieve. So, I'm excited about that as well because we learn, too, from these conversations.
Well, and what everyone needs to understand is if you're applying the law of attraction or you want to learn about it, nobody needs to know. You don't need to tell anybody. Nobody knows you're doing it. So what harm does it do to give it a shot, right?
Exactly. You know, while we're here, E, can you just share your website with us for our audience so that they can review your background and see what's happening in your coaching world?
Absolutely. It's www.corecoachinginc.com. And I have my blog on there. I have the recordings of the podcasts that we've done, of the shows, and other information around the services and my background. So everyone can please check it out. And if they want to reach me, they can just email me at eva@corecoachinginc.com.
Excellent. So next week, West Coast, we're all excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
This week, we're broadcasting live from a secure bunker in Cincinnati. and I ask for everyone, please, go to my blog. Go to charliespeaking.com. Click the blog tab. Very important message out there this month around offshoring and outsourcing. If you are working in corporate today, I think it's a very pertinent conversation to have with yourself and your company. So please check my blog. I would love to hear your comments. We have, you know, we were thinking, right? We had a few guests. We had June and we had Marilyn. Oh, fantastic guests. fantastic books. We had Dawn Boyer, HR consultant. We had Joe Nicasio, entrepreneur. If you want your dream job, then create it. So, you know, we were talking earlier, me and Eva, and we were just thinking that, you know, the workplace is in need of an intervention. We're working harder and harder and harder, but we need to work smarter and smarter and smarter. We're becoming more toxic as in, and in parallel to all of this, jobs are going offshore, okay? Some examples of why we're working harder and getting angrier. Well, we're connected 7x24. We get emails on Sunday. I got an email this Sunday in the morning, and in the email content, it said, please respond immediately. And it really was not that important. Okay, our corporate coworkers, much of the target audience in our corporate talk family, we go through our day basically saying yes to everything, you know, which is not a strategy, okay? Meanwhile, the speakers are speaking and our guests are guesting. There are many limitless opportunities are being suggested. Marilyn Tam says, you need a mission. Co-workers are saying, what does that mean? I need a mission. Is she going to help me get more money? The message is just not getting through. No one seems to be listening. We keep our heads down and we just keep firing. We measure and critique, but we don't come back with any smart suggestions of our own other than saying yes. The content and help is just not getting through. Now, you know, in the first show, we talked about the 55-38-7 rule, how only 7% of the 100% of your message is content. And that 7% is not getting through. Companies continue to avoid making any decisions. They're saying they're change agents, but then they create delay because they search for best practice. So net-net, I'm saying, we need an intervention. So, you know, I ask Eva, what is going on and why? Can we help? This is why we're here, right? We need mm-hmm. to offer our target audience something, right?
Right. and when you say, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah, just bang me on the head and I'll stop.
Well, no, I mean, when we say that, you know, the workplace needs an intervention, because I think when you think of the word intervention, right, even if you watch something like, you know, Celebrity Rehab or Intervention on TV, the person that needs the intervention never thinks they're the ones that have the problem. So when you say the workplace needs the intervention, what we're really talking about is that all of us need to take a look at how we do our jobs. I mean, is that what you're saying, or are you coming at this at a different angle?
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. And let me just make another point. That was perfect. It's exactly what I'm saying. When I did the research and the case studies around my book, which was my career, I went around and I collaborated naturally with teammates, mm-hmm. coworkers, peers, seniors, everyone. 100% of the people I spoke with agreed that there are issues, problems, and concerns in the workplace that need improvements, 100% now. And I'm saying this from living that process. I'm not making up an 80-20 rule, right? This really happened.
Right.
100%.
Right.
Now, 100% of that same group, in other words, everyone, also said the issues, problems, and concerns that need improvement are caused by others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's exactly what you said. And, you know, what do you do, right? So I wrote my book, CARE, which is an acronym for Courage to Take Action Relevant to Everyone, because no one has the courage to do anything except say yes. And in corporate, we were never trained about courage. We trained about everything, but if we don't have the courage to take action, we end up saying yes to everything. You agree?
Well, and so much of what you hear now is that it's really tough to stand up because you hear, well, the economy's terrible. You'll never find another job. You know, it's impossible to get a job. When people do lose their jobs, you know, it's taking years for them to find another job, if they find another job at all. So it almost goes beyond courage. It almost feels like, you know, you're that poor guy in the beginning of Saving Private Ryan that stuck his head up out of the bunker and got shot. If you're the one that goes, you know, just want to take a look around outside of your cubicle and see what it is that you can do differently. So, but what I liked about your book, and I mean, yes, I was close to your book and I was there when you were writing it, but what I like about it is that what it proves, and you yourself have proven just by your own behavior, is that by if you go about that strategically, I mean, you don't want to be the one that's the squeaky wheel. You want to be the one that, as you would say, is a teammate. So your goal is not to just sit there and complain and show everybody what all the issues are, because I think everybody, you know, in your area or in your organization is very clear on what the issues are. What the difference is that you see the issues and yet you commit to yourself to make a difference, to make it a better place to be, a better place to work. Is that
right.
True, the way I summarized that a little bit?
That is true. And, you know, what we're trying to say here to everyone is we're walking that talk. We're
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, to be a better person, you need to be a better person. Well, everything that I'm talking about, I do in the workplace. So I can speak to what's working, what's not working. But I got to tell you, once I developed the courage to take action relevant to everyone, I had an easier time picking my head up out of the foxhole. And not
mm-hmm.
only did I have an easier time picking my head up out of the foxhole, I started to see who has got me in their sights, right?
Yeah.
And it's not always the ones you think.
Right.
So, you know, it's very complicated. But, you know, there's risk and then there's reward. Everything we do takes risk. And, you know, this is the intervention we need. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for everyone to be overloaded, because the only strategy we can come up with is to say yes to everything. It makes no sense, right? And it's our job, you know, mine, Eva's, everyone in the Tough Talk Radio Network family, the target audience on the call, on the line for Corporate Talk, it's all of our jobs to make a difference, because, you know, we can't sit and watch TV and say, oh, look at this, he's going to outsource more jobs, when we're not offering our company solutions to keep the jobs in-house, right? So
right.
Because we're basically saying, tell me what you want me to do. And that's the intervention we need. I don't allow that in my team. Where
mm-hmm.
no one is allowed to say, tell me what you want me to do, right? So that's a start. That's, you know, they want a takeaway. Here's a takeaway. No more tell me what you want me to do. So
when you say tell me, when you say don't tell me what you want me to do, and you say that that's no longer allowed, what you're saying is when you come with a problem, also come with a solution. And it may not be the solution that's usable, or it may not be the one that's actually used, but yet it is a solution. So it looks like you're at least making an effort to come up with the solution. That's what then makes you a leader. You know, everybody's talking about leadership training lately, but what makes you a leader is taking the lead regardless of what your title is. And I know you speak to that as well.
Right. And we're coming up on a break, and when we come back, we want to continue down this leadership path, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was one of my aha moments. So when we're on Oprah, right, we're going to have an aha moment. We're going to have a couple of them. But this leadership business was one of them. And, you know, we can talk about that a little more when we come back, along with, you know, other parts of the journey, case studies, things, you know, we want to bring up, mentors, and but, you know, we want to leave the audience today with some takeaways. Because
right.
if we're saying we need an intervention, we need to prescribe something. So We'll continue the conversation with Eva. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back shortly with more on Corporate Talk with Charlie Labasco.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Everyone needs someone special, someone who is ready and willing to listen, someone who will allow you to share your own personal story. That someone is Linda Ballesteros. Power Talk with Linda Ballesteros is an extraordinary forum for empowerment, a safe, warm, and welcoming environment for heartfelt discussions. Networking strategist, motivational speaker, self-improvement advocate, and author, Linda Ballesteros is engaging and approachable. She helps others realize their self-worth and develop their true potential. Get to know and love Linda like so many others who have already experienced the positive, caring atmosphere she cultivates and encourages. She seeks to help people open the gateway to their ultimate self and explore what is possible together. Linda deeply understands the unique person that you are. Discover the energy. Discover the exuberance. Discover Power Talks with Linda Ballesteros. Find out more at powertalkswithlindaballesteros.com.
Let author Charlie Labasco show you how to build a better workplace. Charlie is looking to improve the workplace, and by that he means your relevance in it. Charlie has almost 40 years of experience inside the corporate workplace. He has seen unbelievable, mind-boggling change in technology over the years, but no real change in the day-to-day and sometimes toxic workplace behavior. For more about Charlie and his book, Care, Courage to Take Action Relevant to Everyone, Building a Better Workplace Starts with You, visit charliespeaking.com.
Okay, we're back. This is Corporate Talk with Charlie Labasco and Eva. If anybody has something to say, because we want your input, the number, if you're on your computer, is 347-989-1363. Press 1 to be placed in the queue. And if you're on the phone and your arm is getting tired and need to go to your link, you could listen via www.corporatetalkwithcharlielabasco.com. I also want to mention the Tough Talk family. It's a great family, a lot of great content, a lot of great shows. I would like to mention a good one coming up Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. That's tomorrow. Linda Ballesteros. Her guest is Bob Berg. You know, I had the privilege of being a guest on Linda's show in April, and I just sensed the power in there. There's a lot of good things happening. So I, you know, check it out. In fact, if you can't check it out and would like to check it out, email me and I'll send you a recorded copy, okay? Again, there's no reason to not listen to every show, especially since it's good content. Okay, so Eva, I was getting a little sidetracked, you know. Intervention, you got to be tough. Can't just say, oh, we're doing so good, you know. It's really difficult, especially today, and I don't mean to make light of it, you know. Patrick Henry's wife didn't say when he came home from telling the world he would rather die than not have liberty. She didn't say, you know, you were a little over the top, Patrick. You need to tone it down. No one's going to listen. Sometimes, right, the content has to take precedent, you know.
Yeah. And I think that she may have said that to him, but he was committed to what he was doing, so he just moved forward, right?
That's right. Sometimes, you know, you gotta be like Thor. You gotta swing that hammer.
Right.
And, you know, and I, again, I'm not making light of it. You know, I'm here in my secure bunker in Cincinnati, sort of like my dugout, so I feel very safe. And I just want everyone to know again and again and again and again that there's no reason for everyone to be angry and toxic at work. just like my commercial said, I've seen groundbreaking change in technology, but no change in the behavior, because we never learned how to be courageous, and that's what's needed. Okay, so before the break, we kind of worked our way up to leadership, and it struck a nerve, right?
Right.
And, you know, it was one of the reasons why I decided to write a book and go down this path. You know, here we are, 2012, and, you know, you're in corporate yourself all these years.
Yes.
Where are all the leaders, right? All my leaders came and went. I've seen leaders come and go with mergers, acquisitions. I kind of got a little turned off. My views on leadership were skewed, right? I didn't trust anybody. I wasn't really hearing them.
And also with the leadership, I mean, it's not only just the mergers and acquisitions that had a big shift in leadership. It was also what you started to see was a lot of people coming in from the outside to take leadership roles, where it began to seem as though organizations weren't trusting the people that they themselves were mentoring. And they felt that if they brought someone in from the outside, that person could perhaps do a better job. And what you're finding is that as they come in, regardless of the amount of time that they've spent at another organization, unless they really know this organization that they're currently in and understand the corporate culture and the mission of that organization thoroughly, which takes some time to get up to speed, it's really difficult for them to step into that leadership role easily. And you have a lot of resentment from the people down below. And
right. In parallel, you have the guy coming in off the street trying to get up to speed, and you got the rest of the team around them going south because of the lack of trust.
Right. And then they're also withholding information because they're angry.
Right.
And so how do you then get that buy-in? And so I know what you talk to in your book is that people need to start looking at not so much at all this that's happening outside, but how can I even contribute to this situation? Because even though it may seem on the outside that this isn't the perfect situation, or you may be angry because you haven't stepped into this role, and you may think it may be the right thing to do to withhold information, I guarantee that that is absolutely the wrong strategy and will hurt you in the long run. Wouldn't you agree with that? You don't have to agree with it. But
no. I was just going to say, wow, you know, when I was going through this process, okay, and, you know, and everybody knows, right, that our conversation is unscripted, so this is exciting. But I developed this technique. June, who we love, gives everything a name, right? She gives everything a name, and she said, Charlie, what you do is you put everything on the table. You're so transparent, but you're authentic, and you're very productive. So she calls it tact. But that's exactly right. If a leader would come in, sit at the table, and apply tact and be transparent, authentic, and productive, then everybody would listen, right?
Then the team themselves have to do that, have to apply that as well. They have to apply tact. And I know that when you're the team being led by a leader that you're not necessarily bought into, that can be really difficult. But it doesn't help the team, it doesn't help the organization, and in the long run, it doesn't help you if you also don't show that transparency and also want to determine a way to be actually helpful to this new leader.
Right. It's unbelievable, right? It's almost like the people under the leader need to lead the leader, right?
Yes. Yeah, and that can make people angry. But in the long run, you'll learn a lot from it, and you'll also make yourself look good, because that leader will not, for the most part, will not turn on you. You may then create an ally, and a powerful ally at that. And I don't think people ever look at it that way, or very rarely do.
Both Elaine Greaves, another Talk Network family member, and also Linda Ballesteros, both said the same thing, and they said that it's been really rare, if at all, that anyone has come out to kind of promote leadership from the bottom, right? And that they haven't really seen many examples of that. And it's really for all of the reasons we were just talking about, which is why we need an intervention, right? So imagine a company with hundreds of employees and this leadership tsunami is developing from the bottom, and now you have all 100 employee brains working towards a solution, and no longer the one leader who's giving orders, right? Think about how much more powerful and productive that company can be, right?
Well, it can be extremely productive, and especially if you tap into the different skill sets of each of the people within that team. That's really where that leader that has come in, that really where should be where his skill set lies or her skill set lies, is to determine what the skills are within the team and utilize each one of those to their fullest. And that's not that easy. But if you're committed, if you understand what your strong skill sets are and which skills you're weak at, you can then present that. And you can then work with your leader to help you then use the skills that you're best at and let someone else take over in the skills that you might be a little weaker at. Not saying that you don't have to work on those. What was that coaching example that you gave the other week where you said it's not, you don't practice what you're good at?
It's a challenge. Being a coach for 10 years, the girls would come in and practice what they're good at. So if a pitcher was packing heat, they would come to practice and just throw the heat, right? And I would want that pitcher to learn how to throw the changeup. Well, I'm not good at that, right? So what I try to do is get them to practice their weakness so that their weakness becomes their strength. And what a nightmare that is, because just as an example, parents would say, my daughter should be playing over her this week because she had a weak practice. And I try to have to spin it by saying she had a weak practice because she was practicing her weakness, you know. So even that creates controversy. But, yes, you know, you should not have the fear to not want to practice your weakness. I agree. But, you know, a couple of things here, right, because, you know, you charge me up and I get kind of lost occasionally. But I want to talk about two things, and we'll start talking about the first, we'll go into the break, we'll finish it up and go into the second thing. I want to talk about leadership again, and then eventually segue into skill sets. And remember, you know, we want to leave our audience with some takeaways that they can use tomorrow, okay, at work. So, you know, with this leadership stuff, I need to find a leader that I could believe in. And I realized there may not be any. So I wanted to go back when there were no leaders. And so I kept going back in time, and I came across my mentors, one of which is George Washington, but not when he was president, right, when he was a soldier, when Patrick Henry and the gang were trying to get him to step up and help with the cause. And what I learned about George back then was he was leading with his behavior. So one of the lessons I learned was you need to lead with your behavior first before you can be a leader in title. Everybody in corporate today is taking courses on leadership, but they don't know how to act like a leader, right?
Right.
So that was another aha moment for me, you know? So that really opened the door and opened my eyes to learn how to collaborate with others and not think that I had to be the leader, right? I had to behave like the leader so that I would command respect. And then if I had respect, people would ask me my opinion. And then that's where the collaboration came from. And that's what I love about George Washington, because he had that, you know.
Well, and you can't ever lead from fear. And I know we have to go into the break, but we can talk about that as well, where, you know, if you're leading from fear, you're not leading. And that's where the courage is coming in.
Okay, so we'll take a break now and come back. We'll continue down the George Washington path, but also make our way into the skill sets because I think that's very important. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back shortly. This is Corporate Talk with Charlie Labasco. We'll be right back.
Tune in to KKHT 100.7 and listen to Ken Marsh, award-winning author, international keynote speaker, and host of The Word on Fearless Networking, a show about putting Christian networking principles into action, airing Monday through Friday, 7 to 7:15 p.m. on KKHT 100.7, The Word.
So you think you're tough, tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Are you concerned about your job, your career, or your future? When you become CARE certified in the workplace, these concerns will be eliminated while your career soars in the process. Up until now, CARE certification was only available through company-sponsored seminars, but now you can become CARE certified in the workplace on your own time. Order Module 1 today and begin the transformation. There's unlimited opportunity in the workplace today, provided you have the right strategy. Becoming CARE certified is the right strategy. For more information and to order, go to charliespeaking.com.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking about a lot of stuff. We're talking about leadership in behavior. We're talking about everything in our collaborative power to build a better workplace. And you know what? We're all accountable, and there are things we can do as individuals starting tomorrow, and we need to stop being the measurer or the copier or the repeater, and we all have played that role as well, and we should only move forward now with suggestions. Our companies need us now more than ever, and we need the work. So the other thing is, you know, the last line, and I don't mean to sell my commercials, right, but the last line of that commercial said, you know, there's limitless opportunity in the workplace provided you have the right strategy. Now, what I learned about George Washington when I was writing my book, prior to George becoming really what we would consider a leader, was he understood that. And he also understood that any strategy is better than no strategy, even if the strategy is to circle, do whatever you can do until a strategy develops, okay? Very important thing to say.
Now, when you say that, what do you mean by that? I mean, I get what you mean that you circle, but how do you circle? Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay, for example, you know, when Marilyn said we need a mission, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, some of the feedback we got during that week was, oh, yeah, we need $1 million too, you know. What does that mean, we need a mission? And then even Big Joe Nicasio said, if you don't have a purpose, your priority should be to find a purpose, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of all the same thing, and that's why I was so charged with speaking to both of them, because I already had that, you know, in my DNA. It was part of my mission statement. Any strategy is a good strategy, and you need to do everything in your power until a strategy develops. So if you're in the workplace, things are not going the way you need them to go. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough have to stay and fight. You can't cut and run. That's you know, a topic for another show, because that's part of the problem. But, you know, I have to be relentless. I have something on the table now at work that's going to save a lot of money. It's going to create a lot of efficiencies, and the message is just not getting through. So my strategy is not working. I can't just let it go. It's too important. It's too important to me. You can't make believe you're CARE certified in the workplace and then just fall back when somebody says not good enough, right? So
mm-hmm.
you need to develop. In George's example, I mean, you know, I write in my book that it still makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. So they're getting hammered, right, in New York Harbor by the Brits, and doesn't know what to do, right? There's no way he can get out of this. And so in the middle of the night, they escape. They don't surrender. They actually escape in the boats and head down Jersey. They actually escape. Now, they knew everybody was going to be coming after them, right? Brits had this humongous fleet. And this makeshift army is sneaking away in the middle of the night, no lanterns, nobody's talking, right? It's freezing cold. It's a miracle that that happened. And all it provided him was the opportunity to play another day, okay? And then eventually he got his strategy. He never let it go. It's just like, you know, a team when they're down and they come back and they come down from behind in the playoffs and fight back and win. They never give up. So, you know, how do we apply that to a mission? Well, you know, if you don't have a mission, you don't give up until you find one, right? You don't just say, well, you know, I'm 58 and this is what I do. If you have a passion about something, bring it out in the workplace, because any strategy is a good strategy. That's what I say, right?
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with that, because you have to figure out something. I know in the beginning when I first started working, because I was scared to death, my strategy was to not talk, not speak unless I was spoken to, and not make eye contact. But that was in the beginning when I didn't know what I was talking about. But what I did do was I did listen, and I listened to see what needed to be done, when it needed to be done, and who was the one that was heard the most often, and how did that person act? And I started acting accordingly to get my message out. So depending on where you're at in your career, you use different strategies. So you're right. Sometimes you just have to circle until a strategy develops. But the whole time that you're circling, you haven't stopped thinking. You haven't gone into the bunker and just, you know, put the blanket over your head and said, okay, you know, I'm just going to make it through to another day. I mean, He was retreating. He wasn't retreating, but they were just kind of escaping, coming up with a new strategy. But he was thinking of another strategy. He gave himself some more time. He didn't stop strategizing.
It gets tricky too, right? Because there's always a price. There's always a price. So his guys were saying, "What is he doing? What is he weak? We can fight these guys, you know." So the same thing happens at work. There's always going to be a price. When I talk teamwork at work, some of my tough guys say it's a way I'm trying to get out of doing work by delegating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's always a price, but that goes with the title, right? If you become a leader in your behavior, you need to be willing to pay that price. So, you know, again, all right. Here's the thing. We can talk it or we could walk it. If you're committed to be a leader in your behavior, you also have to be committed to pay the price, right? That's the challenge. And that's where a lot of people, I mean, they definitely have the skills. They just don't know they need the courage. They think it's a sign, I almost think. Okay, next week you're going to be a leader, okay? You know. And this is what happened. So, you know, I would say, you know, a takeaway would be you want to lead. Lead with your behavior first, and then it'll develop into leader and title. And if it doesn't, maybe your strategy's wrong, and it's not because of some corporate conspiracy.
Well, and, you know, when you were talking about skill sets and people are highly skilled, but yet, you know, I think also what happens is that sometimes, depending on the personality type, a person can be highly skilled, but they also seem to think that the person in charge or whoever they're reporting to should automatically know what all their skills are. And what we found is that as the teams get smaller and smaller and we get, you know, more and more work dumped on us, you know, the people that we report to, the leadership teams, don't really know what we do unless we speak up, unless we show them what we do. So they're not going to come to you and say, well, here, let's sit down and let's figure out what you're good at. You need to know what you're good at, and you need to then convey that to them, not in an obnoxious way, but you need to be very clear in what your strong suits are and then be able to communicate that effectively. And I think that's what happens a lot of times. I think that a lot of times people think, well, you know, if they really cared about me and my progress and my career path, then they will figure out what to do with me next. No, it's like what Joe Nicasio was saying. You need to pull together your ideal job. You need to come up with your dream job and move accordingly.
Right. You know, it's funny, Eva, because we talk all the time, and maybe I take it for granted, but listening to you, you're really an exceptional coach, I have to say. I learn a lot.
You just figured that out? Was I not conveying my skill set to you effectively? Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to have to walk my own talk, right?
No, what I love and admire is how you put everything in perspective. I mean, I sling and the content might be very powerful, but it's coming in many different directions, and you have a way to organize it, which is fantastic. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Now, here's the thing. Okay, so skill sets, you're right.
Right.
Very important, right? And I'll tell you, I mean, I don't really know because I wasn't around, but in my gut, here's where I think Lincoln went wrong. I agree wholeheartedly that you need to apply a diverse skill set, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I talk diversity, I talk diversity in skill set. In my field, technology, it's always ahead of the curve in the 70s and so on. It was always diverse. So, you know, I was respectful of diversity right from the beginning of my career because I'm one of the diverse. But so when I speak diversity, I speak diversity of skill sets. And I talk in my book the skill sets that are needed. But here's where I think Lincoln went wrong. He did have a diverse group of skill in his cabinet. But he didn't care if they were rivals. You know, they had that book, Team of Rivals. He got the best of the skill set. And some of the best that he got in his inner circle hated him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the issue. What the challenge needs to be, okay, now believe me, I'm not saying I know more than Mr. Lincoln, but what the challenge needs to be in the workplace is you need the diverse skill set, but you also need a diverse skill set of teammates. Right? So, and if it doesn't exist, you got to build that first, because otherwise the skill sets don't matter because the behavior will be too toxic to get anywhere. That's what I learned. I could almost take a team of teammates with no skill sets and accomplish the same, if not more, quicker than a skilled team, one is pitted against the other. That's what I think we need to do.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that, because when you have people watching each other's backs, they will cover for each other. And when I say cover for each other, I don't mean that, you know, if someone is just absolutely slacking off and not getting their work done, you shouldn't cover for them. What I'm saying is that, you know, you step in when you see someone stumble. You help them out. You know, everybody is watching everybody else, making that team strong. And everybody knows who has what skill sets and how to use those to their fullest and to their best advantage. So it's you're absolutely right when you say you need the diverse skill set, but then you also need to understand what those diverse skill sets are, and then you need people that get along together to then make that work. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to then go be buddy-buddy with this person after work. It's just that while you're at work, you have to respect that person and understand who that person is and respect that person just for being human. And I think sometimes we don't do that at work. I see that a lot, where people just step on each other just to get ahead.
Well, because we like to be bullies, because sometimes people may think bullies bully their way to the top. I don't really know. In fact, you know, I don't know how this happened, and I don't usually talk about Lincoln because he's not one of my mentors, but Lincoln said, if you bully, or he said, if you are a dictator, expect to be dictated.
Yes, that's
you
exactly
know?
True.
But that's what happens. You know, we downwardly spiral. We don't even understand that, and that's what happens every time. Okay, so that was good. I agree. We need to build the teams. We need to be humble. We need to create a shared leadership model because then everybody's watching each other's back, which I think is crucial today because I don't have the answers, you don't have the answers, but together we have more, right? And you know,
right.
we hear that all the time, but we don't have the courage to make it happen. I don't, you know, at work, many don't have the courage to say, Eva, help me. I have the idea, I'm on the right track, but I need you to present it because you're a much better speaker. That
mm-hmm.
if that were to occur, and it should occur, and you should say, I would love to be a part of this, thank you, and, you know, that's teamwork. That's what teamwork is. And that's, you know, my five skill sets that I say are needed, of course, are from my mentors. Sam Adams brings wisdom. Paul Revere brings social networking. Thomas Paine, communication. Patrick Henry, commitment. And, of course, Big George with leadership. So that's the skill set that in behavior. That's the skill set that I look to recruit. And I have been in the business more years than my team, so maybe I could fill the Sam Adams role. You know, I talk too much, so I can also fill maybe the Paul Revere role. Maybe I could learn on the communication, you know. So I build that skill set, and believe me, the results have been phenomenal. More aha moments for when we're on Oprah. And we'll talk more about this. We're gonna take our final break with Eva and then come back. And I don't know, Eva, we'll talk some more down the path we're going, maybe discuss mission, because we kind of keep putting that off, and I think that's the foundation of everything. And then we'll go from there.
We'll touch on that, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll touch on
mission. We'll
be back
in a minute. Corporate Talk with Charlie Labosco. We'll be right back.
Given the weak performance of the markets over the last 12 years, a permanent decline in home values and increased concerns about job security, it should come as no surprise that many investors don't want to take risks with their accounts. At Advanced Wealth and Retirement Planning Concepts, we understand. That is why we carefully analyze the unique concerns, goals, and risk tolerance of all of our clients before recommending any type of investment. We make sure that our clients' needs come first. To connect with an Advanced Wealth professional, call us today at 800-348-4221.
Health Chat with Dr. Higgy and Kat. This program explores the health and wellness industry. They will bring informative and lively discussions with specialists from all aspects of health. From traditional to alternative medicine, they look to discover all options available to manage and maintain better physical, mental, spiritual, financial, and family health. These are all areas that touch each and every one of us, and they play a crucial role in shaping our overall health and determine our quality of life on our quest to achieve optimal health and wellness. Tune in to Health Chat with Dr. Higgy and Kat on Fridays at noon on the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can find out more at toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you concerned about your job? Concerned about losing it? Concerned about being repositioned in the workplace? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, or even if you just want to be a part of the workplace improvement revolution, then join the conversation with Charlie and his guests every Monday at 7 p.m. Central on Corporate Talk with Charlie Labosco, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. We have 10 minutes. With remaining with Eva, you know, I have to go back and I have to say, or if you just want to be a part of the workplace improvement revolution, that's why we work, and that's our job. So we're all accountable now, okay? So we're talking about skill sets, teamwork, behavioral leadership. All of these attributes are found in my CARE certification in the workplace seminar. Now, I'm not selling it, okay? I am selling it, but I'm not selling it here. But what I'm saying is, if you want to walk the talk, you need to go through that. You need to commit to something, right? You know, you need to have a mission about something. My mission statement in my book is to be trusted as a teammate to deliver results for the common good of the company, and but not at the expense of others. I want to create win-win, not bully win, because those results are tainted. So, you know, Eva, again, going back to things like mission statement and our mission in the workplace, and any suggestions, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming up, and we talk a lot about life mission and life purpose, and really, to me, your life mission and your mission at work really shouldn't be any different. So sometimes people know their life purpose or their life mission when they're very young. You know, they figure it out. They know they can be singers, or they know they're pianists, or they know they're technologists, or whatever they are. They know right away, and they work toward that goal. But, you know, for others of us, it's not really that easy. So some of the things that people can start thinking about, and you think about it on a daily basis, and not to stress about it, but start thinking about, well, what are your core values? If someone were to ask you today, what are your core values? Do you have an answer for that? And if you don't, think about what those core values are. And then from there, you know, what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want people to remember about you? So, you know, you're on your deathbed, and you decide, you know, someone asks you, well, you know, what should I take away from your life? You know, you don't really want to be remembered for, you know, well, I worked 24/7. What is it that you do want to be remembered for? And how can you then apply that to the work that you're doing now? So it's things like that. So you really want to start, and let me just add to that, you want to start looking at that on a daily basis. Like, what during your day brings you satisfaction? You know, when are you working on something where you just absolutely don't notice the time? You know, all of a sudden you look up and it's 3 hours later. Those are the types of things that you want to have more of in your day. And from there, you can start looking at, well, what your life purpose is and what your life mission is. I mean, does that make sense to you?
I mean, it's a home run, because it'll remove the toxicity, because you're doing something you enjoy, even if it's in a toxic environment. If you could find a passion in there during the day that, to your point, makes the time go by, think about that some more. Write some of that stuff down. Have some courage to commit to something. You know, in my book, I say, think ahead 200 and something years from now, you know, going back to Patrick Henry's comment, you know, this guy is remembered through eternity for one sentence. Can you imagine? You know, so I agree. You know, what do you want to be remembered? I'm not that he was a funny guy. You want to do something good. You want to make something better. Shouldn't say that, right?
Well, even if you were to say, you know, a funny guy, but what you did was that you lightened people. You know, you helped people have a little bit of fun during their day. You know, you could do something like that. I mean, that's really what you want to look for, is what is that good feeling that you're getting from what you're doing? I think people really start buying into the negativity, and it's really easy. It's easy to be negative just because we're so used to it. Well, try being positive. Try going into a meeting and saying, you know what? I'm going to set an intention that this meeting is going to go well, that we're going to find a solution. And 9 times out of 10, because I did start doing this, I did, you know, I could walk the talk on this because I did actually start doing this. And it doesn't mean that every meeting goes well, but if you go in there, if you go into a meeting that you think is going to be contentious, but you go in grounded and feeling positive and feeling that you want to come to some type of solution and you want to collaborate, most of the time, people will follow your lead. So that's one way you can lead, by just being, you know, the Yoda, and going in there and being calm and being fearless.
Wow.
And it takes practice. It's not easy. It takes practice. And so it's something that you should practice on a daily basis.
And this is something that we're going to discuss deeper and further next week, right? I mean, this is the type of content that we can learn out of the box, because from what we're used to learning, in our workplace and make it better and enjoy it at the same time.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, if you say to yourself, well, I don't understand why I'm not CIO yet, and I really want to be CIO. Well, why do you want to be CIO? What is it about being a CIO that you want? Is it that you want the power, that you want the money? What is it about that role that you want? Do you want recognition? You need to get very clear and very specific on what it is that you want before you can say, well, I don't understand why I'm not CIO. You need to understand what you're bringing to the table, and you need to understand why you want that role. Otherwise, you can't work towards it. If you don't understand why you want something, you really can't work towards it. Or you could get it and then not know what to do with it and be doubly unhappy when you get to that point, if you're not clear on why it is you want it.
This is why we're saying we need an intervention, right? This is what we need. Exactly.
That's exactly right.
We're giving out a lot of homework assignments here, right? Because
well, the homework is actually fairly straightforward. All you have to do is on a daily basis just start being very cognizant of what in your day you like and what in your day you don't like and what in your day you have control of. You have control of how much negative chatter goes around you. If you're the one that's causing the negative chatter, then you need to stop it. And if you're the one that's listening to a lot of negativity, you need to cut it off too. And you don't have to be a jerk about it. You can just say, you know what, I've got a lot of work to do, and move on and go do what you need to do. Because what I have found is that so much time, I would get so much more work done working from home than I did in the office, because in the office, everybody would just sit around and complain. And the complaining took longer than most of the tasks that were asked.
Yeah.
So either decide, make a conscious choice to not do that task, or make a conscious choice to not complain about that task and just complete it. And if you decide not to make, if you decide to not do that task, then come up with the reasons as to why that task shouldn't be completed. But don't complain about it.
Nice. All right.
And that's not easy. That's not easy. You know, I mean, I have trouble with that too. It's not, you know, it's not that easy. But practice makes perfect.
Right. No, you know what? I love when you get in the zone. We need a 24-hour show. We have about a minute left, and, you know, thank you so much, and we can't wait until next weekend as well, because it's going to be real exciting. But
it is.
I want to say a couple things. I want everyone to work on what Eva was saying. Start writing down what it is you like about your day. Do something. Send them to us. Call us. We want to hear. And in parallel to that, we want to hear mission statements. Mine is to be trusted as a teammate to deliver for the common good of the company, but not at the expense of others. I want to hear other mission statements. We want to let the corporate world know we're coming. We're coming with solutions. We want it to sound like, you know, those John Wayne movies at the end where the artillery is coming back. The stock prices are going to go back up. There's no reason for this, and we can help. And, you know, people like Eva, people like Jeanette next week, they're going to show us alternative ways to help, so that we don't beat ourselves to the ground and have to bully our ways through. So anyway, Eva, I just want to say thank you. You charged me up as always. And we're going to be broadcasting live next week from the West Coast, which is always exciting. We get that
California
dreaming, you know.
Yep.
You never know what develops there. And again, before we go, send me a request for the link for the recording for this show, because there are some takeaways. We want to hear your mission statements. We want to know your homework. In fact, I'll tell you, Eva, let's do this. Let's spend a minute or two next week, because I want to write down my homework. So I want to share with the listeners what I did over the week based on your takeaways, because we need to walk the talk constantly here. So I'm assigning myself that task, so thank you.
Perfect.
Okay, so I think we're done for the evening. Thank you, everyone, and we will be back next week with Eva and Jeanette Moore speaking Law of Attraction. This is Corporate Talk with Charlie Labosco, and I want to say thank you, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Corporate Talk with Charlie Labosco, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.